Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
Migraine.
Wow.
The first time, I mean, it was really great for like the first 15 or 20 minutes. And I was like, yeah, I get it, man. Why people do drugs. Yeah, this is cool. And I was literally swinging from lampposts and just giggling and having a great time. And then it felt like somebody put a red hot knitting needle through my skull and it dropped me to my knees.
Wow. Well, you know, I tell people all the time I had an addiction specialist. Oh, brains, you're at home. You're on the edge with April Mahoney. And my guest today, Sue Wilhite. So back to our story. They were saying that, you know, marijuana is being genetically modified. It used to be 3% THC. Now you can go in and get 23%, 35%. I had an allergic reaction to cigarettes. That's why I stopped smoking. I smoked a cigarette one time trying to be a grown up, and I tell you, my face swole up, my lips, all the endorphins in my body started to tingle. It was horrible. I said, if I get through this, you'll never have to worry about me ever trying to smoke a cigarette again.
So all the chemicals.
All the chemicals. So now you have not done pot, not done alcohol, not done cigarettes, but you do people. And you do
people. I do people. That's my addiction.
That's right. And you do it in the right way. Brain, she's a podcaster. She just celebrated her 30. Will you consider a podcast or a video cast?
Yeah. I've asked a bunch of people what you call what I do. At the moment, it's a video cast, but I'm converting my old episodes to audio so that I can put them up on Apple and Google and Spotify and all of those other places.
Right. So. Well, you're doing a great job. 30th episode. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not for chumps. That means that you're dedicated. And that's what I tell people all the time. You got to be consistent. You are a business coach. Yes. You work with business owners and you work with, you're a mentor as well, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Wow, you're doing a lot. So you're very impactful and insightful. And you're going to tell us how to play with monsters.
Wow.
I know. You are so fun. Sue Wilhite, please tell my brains a little bit more about you.
Yeah, so thank you for watching. I really appreciate it. And thank you, April, for inviting me on to the show. This was an honor that I really didn't expect. So
oh, you're
thank
sweet.
You.
You're sweet, baby.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely, absolutely. I want you to shine. That's what I do.
I put
the polish on people.
It's a good thing. I like thank being you. Polished. So, so I am here to tell you, in my life at least, don't settle for one thing. This is one of the reasons I became a coach, is to help people breakthrough limited thinking. And I've had a many and varied career that I have been excellent in everything that I've done. So it's not like you hear people who've had multiple careers and they're jacks or janes of all trades and master of none. I spent 20 years in information systems. I was a celebrated programmer, analyst, database designer, was IT manager. I spoke at conferences. People followed me. And I switched careers when that gave me an ulcer. And I became a hypnotherapist.
Wow. What a shift.
What a shift. But I want to back up for a second in that the reason that I was so good as a programmer and systems designer was because I wasn't into the computer. The computer and the programming, that was fun. That was a tool. I was into was helping people be more productive at work and get their work done sooner so that they could go off and have a life. right?
Okay.
That was my motivation. It's like, okay, if I could save somebody 20 minutes doing cycle count in the stock room, or save an accountant having to go through a 3-inch pile of printout to find what they were doing, I'd much rather have the computer do that than have people do that.
Right.
So when I shifted to hypnotherapy, the tool changed, but the focus remained.
Wow.
In that I wanted to help people get out of their own way,
mm-hmm.
so that they could be more present for their life and do what it was that they wanted to do without
wow.
feeling less than.
Well, do you think that you picked up on that because you were so successful at what you did? You were time managed, you were disciplined, you were structured, and you said, you know what? This place is running like, you know, it's chaos in here. So here,
right.
let me kind of fine tune it.
Yes, exactly. Wow. And that's one of the things that I do really well is go into systems and go, okay, here's where you can, you know, you can make it a little bit different, make a few changes here and there. And, you know, in the business part of the coaching that I do, I love making things more efficient and figuring out ways that people could do things better.
Remind me when we go offline, there's somebody I want to introduce you to in South Australia. He's a beast. He says he can help you find $50,000 in your business right away. So you guys have a direct synergy. So tell me a little bit about this summit that you put together, Be Your Own Healer. What was that
about? Be Your Own Healer. So that came out of my interactions in the mind, body, spirit community, because as a hypnotherapist, I got introduced to pretty much every practitioner there was.
Wow.
Reiki, angel healing, sound healing, everything. And one of the things that I encountered as part of my hypnotherapy training, I actually trained as a hypnoanesthesiologist. Say that five times
fast.
That's
my daughter was hypnotized when she had a hernia, and the doctor said, do you mind if I hypnotize her before she goes in? So this will be a pleasant experience for her. I had never experienced that before. And he was a hypnoanesthesiologist in third world countries. And I bet you if I was next to you, I bet you I could feel that same aura. His energy was magnetic.
Isn't it cool?
It is. Yeah, it's super cool. I mean, everybody should go under, you know, rather it's for surgery or not, but everybody should go under one time because that subconscious mind is huge.
It's phenomenal.
You know, it's six or seven different people that you don't even know live inside of you.
Yeah, that's a low number.
Yeah, well, it's what, 95%? We only use about 5%.
I won't go into the reasons that's kind of a number picked out of the air, but yeah, we don't utilize we don't magnify the parts of us that we could really use.
Right, right.
You know, and we ignore the things that are getting in our way. And the 95% number, I'm just going to tell you, was pulled out of the air.
Okay.
That was somebody wrote an article back in the 1900s.
I'm glad you said out of the air. You know, usually they say you're pulling it out of somewhere.
Yes, I was trying to be polite.
You're at home. You're at home. Just be yourself.
Yeah.
But, okay. So let's go back to that a little bit though. So you started in hypnotherapy and anesthesiologist. Did you work in a hospital setting? Or?
No. The hypnoanesthesiology that I did in my office to relieve pain pre-surgery, but I never was actually in a hospital setting. What I would do is I would do the hypnoanesthesia and record it and give it to them to play while they were in the hospital.
Oh, wow.
And so that was cool. And I actually had people who saved their tapes. This was a long time ago. It was on tapes. they saved their cassette tapes because they said it helped them sleep at night.
Mm.
And I've had people come up and show me their tapes, you know, 10 years later, going, I've played this to death.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you got into that realm and you found great favor. And again, you were very successful at that too. So what made you pivot again?
Well, meeting practitioners who didn't have my business background. You know, working in information systems and doing business systems design, I learned business from the inside out.
Right.
Right. And then when I decided to form my own business, I took classes, you know, I'd already gotten an IT degree, an information systems degree with a business focus. So I'd had some business classes, but I went back and relearned them from, okay, these are decisions that I'm making now. And going forward, and I kept finding practitioners who had no clue. They didn't know how to market themselves. They didn't know how to talk about themselves. They didn't know how to charge. They were reluctant to charge, which I'm so horrified by every time.
Well, you know, and that's what I said. People have to understand. That's why it's called business.
Yes.
And money is a vehicle of exchange.
It's an energy.
It is. And you know what? You can't work for free. The only people that work for free are volunteers and slaves.
Right.
And so right. You don't have to be embarrassed about that. I'm not embarrassed about that. If you can't afford it, I get it. There's a lot of things that I do, you know, pro bono or grace, but I can't eat either one of those. I can't pay a light bill with either one of those.
Exactly.
And so many people don't do that. And your skill, your talent, your energy, your time, all of that is value.
Yes. Took the words right out of my mouth. Yes.
You know?
That's exactly it.
And people don't do it. And a lot of women, I get on women all the time. Oh, I don't need a best friend. I got a couple of those. And I only need a couple of those. I need people that are going to do something. And then when you make money, you pay it forward.
Yes.
Pay it forward because, again, as you said, it's energy.
Yes.
So you have to get on your clients about this too.
Yep. Yep. All the time. And just last week, I was telling somebody was trained in neuro-linguistic programming. I'm like, dude, you already know this stuff. Just get over not charging. He goes, well, I don't know that I'm good enough. So charge less, but charge something.
Right. But the thing is, when he paid his instructor.
Yes.
And when he got that certification.
Yes.
And he's smiling and saying, hey, you know, now I'm certified in NLP, but now he doesn't think he's good enough.
Right.
So I say this with love. That's pretty disingenuous because you are not talking the talk, but you're not walking the walk. You're not changing that conversation that you're having in your own mind, in your own head. Oh, yeah. You're supposed to give him a tongue lashing, Sue.
Well, that's one of the big hairy monsters.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that.
Is, you know, feeling not worthy, feeling like you're not good enough, not wanting to have the value conversation when you say, okay, you know, I charge $2,500 for my coaching program. It's an 8-week program. And people go, how can you charge that much? Because it works. I could have this conversation. And could I tell you a secret, April?
Please.
This is one of my favorite things to tell people.
Tell us.
I bet you've heard this. Oh, I hate selling. Okay, so I'm just going to tell you the difference between marketing and selling. Selling is, how would you like to pay for that? Grocery clerks do this all the time.
Right.
People who work in big box stores do this daily. People who work in little dress boutiques do this. Bookstore clerks do this all the time. How do you want to pay for that?
I have a different respect.
That's silly.
I have a different respect for people that know how to sell because I'm a master at it. Okay. I could sell ice to an Eskimo. But you know what? I sell value.
Yes.
Okay. I'm not just selling you a bill of goods.
Exactly.
If I have something to sell you, it's tested, tried, and approved. And I like it and I love it. Be it me, be it clothes. I've been a brand ambassador for Sean P. Diddy Combs. I've been a brand ambassador for Martha Stewart. Okay, I can sell, but if I don't like it, I'm not going to try to sell that.
Exactly.
And sales is a psychology and a skill. You have to get into the psyche and know what a person needs. Exactly. Again, you have to sell to value. You can't just give them just any old thing. They don't want it. I know I went to go buy a new car. Let me tell this story real quick. Okay. I had already done all my research and everything. I was ready. I got in the car. Now, you know, I wasn't trying to buy no Mercedes Benz, but I got in it and he let the top down and he sat next to me and he turned on my favorite jazz radio station. And he said, I can just see you driving down PCH and that Afro blowing in the wind. Can't you feel it? How does it feel to you? Does it feel good to you? And I said, oh, yeah. I said, but I'm kind of warm now. He says, but I've got something for you. He hit the seat cooler. Girl, I said, I'll take it. I'll take it.
There's value.
He sold to my knees what yes. I needed. He didn't have to tell the price at that point. You know, we can negotiate that.
Right.
But he gave me what I needed. He gave me a feeling. He gave me an experience. He gave me value. Now, let's talk about marketing. Tell them how to market, because it's totally different.
It is. It is. And marketing is setting up that value. It's how you establish the value and how you present the value. And since I deal with, you know, individual practitioners most of the time, it's how do you present the value and who are you setting up to be attractive to the person who is going to be attracted to what you're offering. And that's really what marketing is.
It's the deliverable and it's consistency.
Yes.
Consistency makes the cake rise. Brains, you can't not put flour and baking soda in one time and get the same cake. It has to be consistent. Your brand, your logo, you have to be like a politician. You got to stay on message.
Absolutely.
You have to be consistent. Because that's what people are looking for. When you see this logo, you know who you're dealing with. You know who's
that's
coming for you. When
that's
you see Coca-Cola, when you see a Nike check and you don't even need to see the words, you know who that is.
No, there's a local store here called Oliver's in Sonoma County. Mm. And they've got, it's a script O and the rest of the name. Mm-hmm. And I saw somebody wearing a hat and the way that the angle was, all I could see was the top of the O. And I went, oh, he works at Oliver's. That's branding. I laughed because it was like, yep, that's branding. I knew who that was.
But so many people get those two things confused. They think that marketing, you have to market first.
Yes.
And then you can sell.
Yes.
Because you have to let people know what you have to offer.
Yes.
And you have to let them know that it's in alignment with what they need.
Yes.
And sometimes if you're quick and slick and they like you, they'll buy it for your personality and your charm.
Yes.
But that's another sales job because you're selling who you are.
Yes. Yes. And one of the things that I see a lot in practitioners is they're trying to market reflected value. And there's something to be said for that. I mean, this is, you know, I'm on a podcast. I'm on your podcast. I'm getting reflected value. That's
okay.
One thing.
Okay.
But the more subtle and badly used is to say, I'm a Reiki master. Well, who cares?
Right.
I'm a hypnotherapist. Who cares? I'm a business coach. Who cares? You know, I can say that I've got a dozen different certifications and I could put letters after my names. I could talk about the 3 degrees that I've got. Nobody cares.
Right.
Right. That's what I call misuse of reflected value. Those certifications are nice as a backup. But what you want to do in marketing is here's what I have to offer. Here's what's going to happen. Here's the result that you're going to get. It's like you in the Mercedes Benz. It's like, ooh, I can see you in the future.
Girl, he saw, I saw it. I felt it.
It's a car.
It was a car. Yeah, and he didn't have to do a whole lot of nothing. He just pushed that button. But when you say reflective value, I think I just lost my train of thought. I had a great question for you.
Okay.
But it'll come back to me.
It will.
So now as you're working with these practitioners, because you automatically assume, or I would automatically assume, that a practitioner is sharp as a razor's edge. They already know, oh, that was it. The differentiator.
Yes.
As you said, there's tons of Reiki masters. There's tons of hypnotherapists. But what's the difference in working with April Mahoney and working with Sue Wilhite?
Exactly.
That is what you're selling, is that yes. value. That is what you're marketing. The yes. differences.
Yes. And my secret sauce is that I do a form of sound healing that clears their blocks, gets rid of their hairy monsters, and allows them to move forward in their business and get things done.
But also the skill set and how you've been able to edit, filter, and pivot all of this time.
Yes.
People want to mimic that.
Yes.
They want a recording of that they can listen to at night and right. reprogram. That's right. the difference between working with you and working with somebody else.
Yes. And one of the things that I'm kind of coming out of the closet about is that I did have this many and varied career. And for a while there, I was kind of hiding it because of that, jack of all trades, master of none. It's like, well, I'll hide that under the closet. Hmm. And it's been in the last year that I went, we're all talking about pivoting. I have pivoted so many times. But you got to pivot right. You got to pivot into your strength.
Since you self-disclose, let me just self-disclose. Do you know how many jobs I've had in my lifetime that I counted? I've had 33 different jobs.
33. That's got to be a record.
33. And I've been an entrepreneur and had my own business since I was 5 years old.
Good for you.
And the reason why I say 33, I couldn't believe that either. I got to counting. I was like, some of them were part-time jobs. Some of them were volunteer, but I worked harder there. Some of them, I just got my purse one day and said, the hell with this, I'm out.
Yep.
But another thing about me, I don't have a degree. And I have made six figures, okay?
Exactly. So,
and the reason is because I've been able to sell me.
Yes.
What I have. My ability to get in and know the job, my ability to be open to change and to learn, my ability to know when to hold and when to fold, and to be able to look for the opportunities. There's always an opportunity. When I get into a corporate environment, I know everybody from the CEO to the janitor, baby. You best believe it. Hey, how you doing? And if there's an informational area that I want to explore, I open myself up to that. But so many people are here. And like you said, they have a shame associated with it. I'm quite proud of myself that, hell, I can do all of that, about 33 jobs with no degree and make that kind of money. Shoot, I pat myself on the back. Absolutely. But that's not for everybody. Now, I'm a risk taker. And I have been afforded the luxury of having, a strong foundation, a strong base that I've been able to do whatever I wanted to do. But I've never missed a payday. Never.
Good for you. Yeah.
But there's a lot of fear with that, too. There's a lot of fear associated with that, Sue. Now, you know that. People just can't get their head around that because they're, oh, my God, I've been at this job for 30 years and there's nothing else for me. I don't know how to do anything else.
Right.
I've been a housewife for, I've raised the kids since they were 18 years old. And now there's nothing else for me to do. What do you say to that person, Sue?
Yeah, that's when you do your love analysis. Your strength analysis.
Mm-hmm.
What was it that really lit you up? I mean, why did you stay with a job for that long? Why were, when you were a housewife or house husband, I'll be gender neutral. I live in California.
I know. They'll get you.
You never know. Coming out of that, what was the thing that you loved to do the most? What was it that when you were, you know, changing diapers or cooking dinner or taxiing, you know, kids various places, what was it that you were dreaming of doing and wished you could do if you just had X amount of time? And maybe that's not the money maker, but that tells you where your heart is and where your strength probably is, and we'll work from there. You know, without a specific example in front of me, it's a little tough, but, you know, it's somebody who, for instance, who was it just the other day? I was talking to somebody who wanted to get out of the estate business. He did estate selling. So when people pass, their household is, you know, sometimes needs to be cleared out. Mm-hmm. And he was in the estate selling business for 30, 40 years. Mm-hmm. And one of the major players in his area. And he's with the pandemic, of course, that kind of shut down. And he was saying, I don't know what else I want to do. I said, could you teach somebody else to do it? He said, oh yeah, I love teaching. I said, you have the tools. You have Zoom. You can, exactly. You have a computer. You can set up a website. You can teach somebody to do that. They would pay you for this because this is a very, very lucrative and, I hate to say it, ongoing business.
Right, because that's guaranteed.
That's guaranteed.
You know, but I had a girlfriend that was so organized. She had learned to almost be a minimalist.
Right.
I said, that's a great business.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a minimalist, but I want to reduce a lot of things and release that emotional attachment to stuff.
Yes.
I had another friend that was a great baker. Now, yes. What is she doing? Selling cupcakes out of her house. She made a killing during the pandemic because people didn't want to go. She
yes.
And shipped them and made more money than she did, you know, before. So there's a lot of opportunities, but people just have to really sit down with a pen and paper and do a brain dump. I do brain dumps. Take a pencil and a piece of paper and I write everything, just whatever's on my mind.
Whatever's there.
You know,
yep.
And turn the paper around and write it and go on the back and write it. Because that's releasing all of this clutter and allowing more capacity for new things to come in. What do you say to your client that you're really trying to help them reassess and reprogram? I love how that one eyebrow goes up. Oh, boy.
Yes, I've been told to keep my eyebrows set to stun.
No. I like that. That lets me know we're about to go in. We're going in.
So it really depends. Part of what it is that I do is clear stuff out of the way before we even work together. So I consider that vital. I consider that just absolutely a requirement that if people aren't doing personal development at all, they need to do that. If they're going to pivot, you want to do personal development, you want to clear out as many blocks, as many limiting beliefs, as many things as they've got to get it out of their way. So they're not hampering themselves, they're not hobbling themselves before they can move forward. Pivoting is really simple, but it's not necessarily easy.
Right.
The hard part is picking the direction. The hard part, actually, I tell people all the time, the hard part is paying attention. The hard part is paying attention, is noticing what's going on in that, not necessarily 95%, but that whole subconscious stuff that's going on. Pay attention to what's coming up with that. What are you noticing? When you notice it, then it's simple to pivot.
Right.
Because chances are good. You just need, you know, a couple of quick things and boom, you're off to the races.
Because it's already in your mind.
It's already there.
It's already in your mind and it's asking you to act on it. I work with an ego coach. She's a trip. I love her. And what she says is you get these downloads.
Yes.
And so I was telling a couple of my other guests, I had to stop meditating for a while. because I was getting these intense, massive downloads, and it was encouraging me, or I thought it was encouraging me to act, which was really kind of planting a seed saying, yeah. Hey, you know, you might want to do this in the future. You might want to revisit this. You know, you might be in the middle of this. You don't have to do it right now. And it was just so much and so intense. And I was like, wow, am I really able to fulfill? So that's some of my challenges is that, you know, I get these, you know, I get a wild hair up my ass and you can't even pluck it with tweezers.
So to people like that, I say, hire somebody.
But you know what? I like to have my hands in it.
I totally understand.
I want to mold it, and then I can turn it over to someone else because I like to see other people shine. But it's just innately from the beginning, you know, that's like me. I've got two other podcasts that I'm getting ready to start. And they're totally, they're off the chain. They're totally nothing like anybody has ever heard or seen before. But I found myself, one of them's with my daughter, I found myself being a little controlling. I was like, well, you know, you need to do this and that. And I was like, okay, wait a minute, dial back, April, because you planted a seed. Now let her water it, let her prune it, let her cultivate the soil and watch and see what grows organically.
Right.
But I had to talk to myself, Sue.
Yep.
I had to reel myself in.
So April, do you remember many years ago, there was an Anison commercial where, and I've apparently seen, I used to see it, I guess, when I was a little girl, because I will say that I used to repeat this to my mother when I was little. And it was this woman was in the kitchen and she's cooking something and it boils over and she's trying to cope with the mess. And her mom is sitting in the kitchen with her and saying, oh, honey, can I help you with that? And she turns to her mother and, you know, basically grows fangs and horns and claws and says, Mother, I can do it myself.
Yeah, that's about how Chanel looked at me.
So it's a trap to say that you can do it yourself. It's a trap to say, okay, I need to be in control of this. Mm-hmm. And I learned this as a systems analyst, where people would come to me and they'd have kind of an idea of what it was that they wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And I go, oh, this would be so cool. And I go off and I would do this design and I'd create this whole system and I'd go back and they'd look at me going, that's not at all what I wanted. Mm. So I had to learn to go, okay, I'm going to get three steps in and I'm going to go, hi, is this what we wanted? Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm. And, you know, be able to change directions in the middle.
But that's,
I've got at least three business ideas running around in my head, and it's just, I need partners.
But that's about what's going on right now is that I tell people, I said, okay, you've got these great business ideas, you're creating this online program, yada, yada. But business now is not the business of 2019. You have to go in and see what your customer needs now for their business. Yes. So many things have shifted. Proprietary information is offline. You are now taking your company's business and intellectual property into your home, their equipment. You're working from home.
Yep.
You know, how are you being evaluated, measuring and monitoring your time to make sure that you're efficient on the company's time? Everything has changed.
Yep.
Everything has changed. So when you're an entrepreneur, you have to take that into consideration. What do your clients need to propel them into the 22nd century?
Yes.
Because we're talking artificial intelligence.
Yep.
You know, we are talking, you know, the change of intellectual properties. Everything has just changed so much. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Just within the year, we have had just this huge shift. And it's been interesting to watch people going, no, I'm hanging on. when are we going to get back to, no, it, that it, the ship sailed. You can't hang on to that anchor anymore.
Right. That's right.
It's not going to happen.
And do you even, do you even want to? You know, there's so many people that are afraid of change, and change is a constant.
Yes.
It's going to happen whether you want it to or not.
It's already happening.
You better, yeah, so you better get in line or you're going to get left behind. That's crazy.
It is.
What do you say to the person that resists change?
Oh, learn to dance. Seriously, go take ballroom dancing. Go take, you know, folk dancing. Go take something. Ballroom dancing is a little bit easier than folk dancing. Folk dancing is pretty rigid. Mm-hmm. But ballroom dancing, you know, you've got to you learn the steps, but then you've got all these variations and you know, the music shifts and you might change partners and all kinds of things. Learn to dance. Really, seriously. It's the best thing. It actually turns out there's some research that says that people who learn to dance don't necessarily develop dementia. Or if they do, it's much less and farther along in life than it would have been if they didn't learn to dance. So dance is one of the number one brain stimulators. So if you want good brains, learn to dance.
All right. Well, I want excellent brains, and you are one of them. And you've been right here on the air with me. You are absolutely amazing. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you, what offerings you have, so that they can work with you. I'm going to hook you up with some people because,
bless your heart.
Some good stuff. You got some good stuff.
So you can get in touch with me through my website, which is sweetsoundofsuccess.com. I always say the, and people try to put that in and it doesn't work. So sweetsoundofsuccess.com is the name of my website. And there's two major things on that website. One of them is the sound healing technique that I do, where I clear stuff out of the way, literally clear stuff. I've had people tell me all kinds of opportunities have opened up for them. One of my clients went from a $65,000 a year clerk job to being CEO at $165K within the year.
Wow.
So that's called getting out of your way.
That's right.
And I've had relationships clear up. That was kind of a side benefit. I've had physical symptoms clear up. You know, I don't want to get in trouble with the AMA, so I'm not saying I'm curing things, but you know, sometimes when emotional stuff gets out of the way, physical stuff resolves. It's just one of those happenings.
It's just
And I have an 8-week coaching program called the Call to Action Coaching Program, where we sit down. You have to do the biofield tuning first. You have to do the sound healing first. But then we sit down for 8 weeks and we get something done in your business. One aspect of your business is going to turn around. And maybe a bunch of them, but we're going to focus on one. And it's 8 weeks and it's $2,500. And it is the most intense thing that you are ever going to do. But boy, is it going to be worth it, because you'll have gotten out of your own way, first off. And it's literally like a rocket taking off.
And $2,500, you're making an investment in yourself, brains.
Exactly. Okay?
Exactly. And that's what you have to understand, is that the investment is in yourself. The investment is not in Sue. Sue already got it. she already knows it. She's already making money at it. She's mastered it. So for you to make the investment, you say, oh, you know, $2,500. Look, you spend that on a trip to Vegas.
Right.
So why not, you know, so why not make it a trip that's worth the gas?
Exactly. Yeah. And if you're picking marketing or sales or, you know, some aspect of your business, just figuring out who your clients are, figuring out who you are, figuring out what it is that you really want to do with what you got. Absolutely. Let's do that. And you can make that back easily,
Well, I mean, one client.
You can make it back. I mean, one of my favorite things to do, and I'm just warning people up front, so that they can get used to the idea. I'm going to tell you to double or triple your prices. from the get-go, period.
And you know,
if
and
we're
I
not
tell
charging, we're going to talk about that.
But my thing is, I tell people that, you know, put a value on yourself. And if the people can't afford it, hello, they're not your client.
They're not your client. That's
and
right.
That's okay. There's 2.4 billion people on the planet.
Thank you. This is what I tell people.
And everybody's not going to be your client. And that's okay. That's not that they're not swell. They're absolutely fine. Maybe they can't afford it. Maybe they're not a risk taker. Maybe they just, you know, don't want to do it. But if you make that kind of investment with Sue Brains, please promise me that you're going to do the work.
Yep.
Because she's, you know, she's not a magician. She's going to provide you, just like I'm going to provide you, excellent service. But if you don't follow up and do the work and cross promote yourself and market yourself and get out there and charge and make the ask and close the deal and let your afro blow in the Mercedes Benz, you're not going to succeed. And then it's all coming back on you. And then you're going to look at me and Sue with a side eye as if we've done something wrong or tried to bamboozle you. And you're the, look at that eyebrow went up. She said, that is classic. I love it. I love it. And you know, but you, yeah, you're going to look at us crazy as if we've done something to you. And in actuality, you did it for yourself. So before you can do anything, you got to take ownership and responsibility for who? Self.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I love you, Sue.
Well, thank you, April.
I think you're awesome. Yes, we're gonna get some people together to really kind of make this happen because there's a lot of money to be made, Brains. There's a lot. I'm telling you what I know. There's a lot of money out there. Folks have been sitting on it because they had a whole year not to do nothing.
Exactly.
And now
it's time to change.
Now they want to soar. They're ready to fly. They're ready to take these masks off, show who they are, and get back down, and you might as well be on the cutting edge. Sharpen your knife, sharpen your tools, either decide if you're going to be an entrepreneur, you're going to be a solopreneur, you're going to be a part of an organization, because it's very valuable also to be a part of an organization, to be an individual contributor. There's nothing wrong with going to a job and getting a check.
That's right.
I did it 33 times.
Yep. I did it for 20 something years.
Yeah. But, you know, ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with it. You know, it takes a lot of courage, but you have to know what you want. And yes. I want you to work with this one right here, Sue Wilhite.
Thank you.
All right. All right, Brains. I need you to go and do some work for me. Sign up for my YouTube channel, On the Edge with April Mahoney. I am all over the planet. Oh, on the wrong side of the planet, but I'm all over the planet. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Blog Talk, iTunes, Mixcloud, Spotify, yada, yada. But I really want to be in your heart and in your brain. Thank you, Sue.
Thank you, April. Bless you.